Keeping both the baby and the bathwater, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that crushes other Medicare podcasts like the bugs they are. His dream of attending a Redskins game is now crushed. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Oh boy, it happened again today, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know why this happens constantly to me. Why me, of all people? This is the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, and the rustling you hear on the other side of the screen is my friend and broadcast engineer, Randy Carson. He's making all kinds of noise. I don't know what you're doing over there, Randy, but it's...
I'm grinding corn.
All right, well, sign me up for a bowl full of that. but anyway, to explain to any new listeners we might have, the announcer you just heard was my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, and the medical or Medicare expert he was referring to, Doug Jones, that would be me. And I am here to help people facing Medicare not be so trepidatious. I don't want them to be fearful. I want them to feel confident that the few decisions that have to be made with regard to Medicare are easily understood with a little bit of study, not too much, a little bit of reading. You can read my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020, and it won't be long before you'll feel quite comfortable that you've made Medicare decisions that are going to be standing you in good stead for the rest of your life. But what I was talking about at the opening of the show was the fact that every time we record podcast episodes, Randy starts off with all kinds of interesting factual information. We wind up having half-hour discussions about things not related to Medicare, so he doesn't put them in the show. I just heard about a fantastic Kansas City barbecue restaurant that opened up in Arizona near where I live, and can't wait to get out there. My mouth is watering just thinking about it. And last time, I think we were talking about automobile accidents. I was on the verge of telling you, Randy, about my friend in St. Charles, Illinois, who twice over the last 15 years has had cars in the middle of the night, usually driven by impaired drivers, and there's a straight road leading right to his house. The road turns right before his house, and two times cars have gone airborne and flown into, one time a car flew into his house and bounced off of it, and the other time the car flew into the tree in front of his house, and parts of the car were stuck like swords into the neighboring house and the neighboring trees.
You know what I would do if that happened, Doug?
You would probably move.
Well, there is that possibility, but if I wasn't of a mind to move, I'd say, hey, Grandma, we're going to move your bedroom over to the other corner of the house because I'm not sure you're going to last long here.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you something. The last time it happened, the car hit the second story of the house and bounced off and was laying upside down in the driveway. And the driver had, and you know, he'd done a couple of things before he got into the car. The good thing was that he fastened his seatbelt. The bad thing was he got snot slinging drunk. so he wanted to see how fast his car would go down this mile and a half road from Geneva to St. Charles. And when he went airborne, he was thoroughly flummoxed, and he wound up upside down on the driveway. So the police were there. I mean, it was every first responder in town was there at 2 o'clock in the morning trying to figure out what happened. And so the guy was hanging upside down in his seatbelt in his car, which had bounced off the house. And there were two police officers standing next to the driver's side window. And the ranking officer, the sergeant, told the junior officer, how's he doing in there? You know, asked him how he was doing. He said, let me look. So the junior officer looks down, stands up, and he goes, he's doing just fine. And the driver hanging from the seatbelt goes, screw you! You know, he expected them to rescue him from the car.
Oh, my gosh.
But he hung there for a while, and he spent that time invaluable pursuits working on his excuse. as to why this accident was. It wasn't his fault. It was the other guy that was driving. And, you know, so when that guy ran away, this guy was left to take the, you know, take the blame for it. And they said, okay, but you're hanging from your seatbelt in the behind the steering wheel of a car that's upside down.
He put me over here before he left.
Right. He was actually steering from the other side, and he was pushing my foot on these.
So how long is this straightaway leading up to your friend's house?
Maybe almost 2 miles. It might be a mile and a half.
Okay, so let's call it 2 miles, just so we can have, you know, common ground. We get enough time to get some momentum up. But this corner that they're missing, is it like a 90 degree or what is it?
No, it's like a 45 degree. But the interesting thing is, if you miss it, there's a berm. So you don't just drive over a curb. You're airborne.
Yeah, it's like the Olympics.
Yep, and it's fascinating if you're not in the car, if you're just watching. These friends of mine, just every 10 years or so, all of a sudden there's a huge bang, and the house shakes, and they go running outside, and there's oil everywhere. And so it's an interesting place to have your house.
Oh, my gosh.
This time it was knocked off its foundation a little bit, so they got a lot of new stuff.
Holy criminy. The second guy must have really nailed that puppy.
He did. The first guy hit a tree. He hit the house, but there was a tree in the way, big mature elm tree, and that tree was history. He did too much damage to it for the tree to survive. But then parts of his car were propelled at whatever, 120 miles an hour, and stuck in the next tree in the row of trees and into the neighboring house. So that guy, and that was like 06 or something like that.
Yeah.
And that guy turns out to be the younger brother of a kid that we all went to high school with, a kid. He's 72 years old now. But and he has a problem. And I've seen him around. And the biggest problem he had was that his wife was in the passenger side of the car. When the cops got there, they looked inside, and he was conscious and confused like you would be if you ran your car into a tree at 120 miles an hour. They said, Is anybody else in the car? Because it was wadded up like a ball of tinfoil. And he said, nope, there's nobody else in the car. And the cops believed him. And his wife was expired in the passenger seat next to him. And he was too screwed up to remember that she might have been victimized in the accident. And the cops, you know, couldn't see her because of the damage done to the car.
Right. So did this guy have a snoot full, or was this just an accident?
Boy, did he have a snoot full. And it's interesting. His thing was that his wife would have forgiven him for killing her, because she was okay with him going 120, you know, finding out how fast his car would go, some foreign piece of crap. And as you know, I don't like foreign cars much. And so this guy was trying to see how fast it would go. His story in court was that she would have forgiven him because, you know, she was on board with him trying to find out how fast it would go. The problem, the real victim in this whole thing was their teenage or younger, you know, like maybe 5-6-year-old daughter.
Oh.
And the only reason he didn't do a long stretch in the pen was because the judge said that daughter lost one parent. I don't want her to lose another parent. So he went through very strict years and years of very strict house arrest kind of thing. And I saw him at a party one time where he was not complying with the house arrest regulations at all. And other people were going, yep, that's the guy. That's him.
So, that's him right there. He doesn't learn very well.
Sad state of affairs.
So you're telling me the wrinkles, you know, every car has a wrinkle zone nowadays?
Well, they call them crumple zones.
Yeah, crumple zones. Yeah.
I've been in accidents where my car's crumpled before that term was ever invented. So I think cars have always had crumple zones.
I was going to say that car that you're describing, the whole thing must have been a crumple zone.
It was wadded up like a ball of tinfoil. And they managed to, you know, he got out okay, but the wife was just hidden and surrounded by crushed metal, which was probably just as well, because I imagine that wasn't a pretty sight. And
yeah, I think it's interesting, and maybe this is just, you know, a statistic that I dreamt up in my head, but it seems to me that drunk drivers, for whatever reason, survive better than the other people. What is with that?
That's always been a theory, and the only way people have been able to explain the theory is that they're more relaxed. They don't tense up before impact, and they don't really know what's going on, so everything catches them by surprise. That's the only rational explanation I've heard for that theory. I don't know if anybody's ever done statistical analysis or not, but you're right. There are a lot of kids that I grew up with that had accidents when they shouldn't have been driving, and most of them survived. I don't know whether that would have been the case had they been not impaired or not. I just don't know of any research that's been done on that.
I've got another theory that it's related to that, is that I think more people with convertibles are bald.
Oh yeah, well you had a theory about that a while back, and I said, you know, I see a lot of bald dudes driving convertibles, but I also see hairy guys, and I said I have a convertible and I'm a hairy dude, so I don't know if that holds true in all cases.
Well, I tell you what, when you get out back home here, we're going to get a little notebook to put in your car, and you and I are going to keep count, and the guy that wins has to buy the other guy a beer in terms of, for every convertible you see with the top down, was it a guy that was bald?
I think that's a fair way to burn up most of the day, you and I driving around with making check marks on a piece of paper.
Yeah, I think so. And the bottom line is, if anybody's going to be driving around with the top down, it's Arizona. You're probably not seeing too much of that out there now.
Well, actually, we just had a little spat 5 or 6 days of really, really nice weather. And that makes the people here all confused. You know, why is that big yellow thing up there in the sky? And how come I can go out and wear shorts and not be freezing to death? Well, that ended after a few days, and now we're back to the normal Illinois November weather, which is sometimes the sun's out and it fools you. You go outside and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. But as I told you, we got a bunch of guys over today. It's not like I'm having company or a party or anything. They're all deciding how to put in a new 300-yard water supply pipe from the street down to the house. And whatever the outcome is, it's going to be a big fat check with a lot of zeros that I have to write.
You know what you ought to ask them, since you're going to have to pay for it, and it's going to be your pipe, I think you ought to ask them for your very own manhole.
Well, I think I might have one up on the street.
Really?
I mean, there's a manhole there. I could call it mine. I could write my name on it, I suppose.
Now, here's your fun fact, Doug. You probably know the answer to this, but why are all manhole covers round?
So they don't fall through the hole.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I have a dirty joke that this is a family podcast, so I won't tell the joke.
Okay. But just go ahead.
Okay, manhole covers. A friend of mine wanted to take one home one time, and I said, you know, that doesn't sound like a bad idea, but I bet there's a reason why that isn't a good idea. Well, while we're thinking about it, let's do it. And so, man, those things are heavy, heavy, heavy.
Oh, my God, yeah. Have you ever seen the thing they pry those out of there with?
Oh, yeah, the big giant pry bar.
Yeah, you could either pry a manhole cover out of there, or you could lift an elephant, one or the other.
Yep. And you couldn't do, if you had two of them, you could do both at the same time, I suppose.
Yeah. But for those of you guys in the audience and gals that don't know why a round manhole cover won't fall in the hole, we will leave that as a hanging chad for next time.
Well, just think about it. I'll bet you come up with the answer on your own. Well, there's the alarm telling us we're finished for today. So.
You're not that lucky, Doug. We got some work to do here.
Yeah, boy, oh boy, oh boy. Well, I told Randy ahead of time by means of our episode checklist, wherein I write down all the ideas that I have, that we're going to talk about one Medicare Advantage plan. And Randy hates Medicare Advantage. He calls them Medicare disadvantage plans. I don't like Medicare Advantage because, frankly, they're the insurance equivalent of like being drawn and quartered for some people that have Medicare Advantage plans. However, there is one, and this is shocking, there is a Medicare Advantage plan that I don't hate, and that is a Medicare savings account, a Medicare medical savings account. So it's a Medicare MSA. And I think several companies offer Medicare medical savings accounts. However, there is only one company I know of that is assiduously working to offer their product in every state of the union. And when I look at a map of the states that they're approved in, they're about halfway there, I'm guessing. They're probably in 20 states or thereabouts. And so I wanted to take another look at this Medicare medical savings account from Lasso Healthcare, L-A-S-S-O Healthcare, one more time while people still have an opportunity to purchase this plan for January 1st effective date if they in fact want to have this sort of a plan. A lot of people know what a health savings account is or a flexible spending account. Basically what happens is somebody puts money, deposits money in your name as the insured person, and then you are able to spend that money for medically related things, and there's no tax consequence. And then at the end of the year, often they take that money away, especially with a flexible spending account. That money is no longer yours. It comes out of your account, goes back to whoever paid it to you, and you start all over again following year. Well, with the Medicare medical savings account, basically that's a slightly better, it's actually a much better arrangement. This Lasso Healthcare accepts a whole bunch of money from the federal government. I used to know how much that was. I don't remember now. It could be $15,000, something like that. And they take, let's say, $2,000 and put it in your account with your name on it, and they send you a debit card. So you can spend that money any way you want to, any time you want to. If you spend it on something that's not related to your health care, and Randy and I had a lot of fun for a couple of episodes back in like 55, 56 episodes, we went through the list of procedures and items that were qualified expenditures that you would not be charged tax for. But if you were to spend the money in your account for, let's say, a vacation to the Bahamas, then if the IRS catches you, they're going to say, uh-oh, you got to pay tax on that money that went into your MSA account. But basically, with Lasso Healthcare, your plan will deposit money in your account at the beginning of the year. And you've got your choice as to which plan, either $2,000 or $3,000. So let's just for the sake of argument, let's say that you've chosen the $2,000 plan. What will happen then is that they will use some of the rest of the money that was given to them by the federal government, and they will purchase a high deductible Medicare plan that will cover you over and above a certain amount. And in this case, with a $2,000 deposit, if that's what you choose, then they will choose a Medicare plan that has a $7,000 deductible. So what you have basically is you get the $2,000 and then you have another $5,000 on top of that. It's a $5,000 deductible. So you get $2,000. Now let's say that you're confident that your health is going to remain good throughout the end of the year. And let's say that you're correct about that. Well, the company has given you $2,000. They have purchased a medical plan that covers you from $5,000 up to infinity. It's got a $5,000 deductible. So if something really, really bad happened to you, if you kissed a bus, then you would wind up paying $3,000 out of your pocket. Now, that sounds a lot when you compare it to a Medicare supplement plan. Or even you hope that's not going to happen with most Medicare Advantage plans, although in reality, your amount at risk is $3,000 or larger with almost all Medicare Advantage plans. But with the MSA plan, if nothing bad happens to you, you take your $2,000 at the end of the year, and that becomes yours forever. Now, the beginning of the next year, you get another $2,000. So now you've got $4,000 in your account. The company is still going to buy you a medical plan with a $5,000 deductible. But if you kiss a bus sometime during that year, you're going to actually, you're going to spend your $4,000 and you'll have $1,000 at risk coming out of your pocket. So if nothing bad happens to you at the end of that year, you will have $4,000. And it goes on and on. That's an option, one plan. And then the richer option is a plan where the company gives you $3,000 in your account. And they have an $8,000 deductible medical plan that covers you. So $8,000 is what we call the stop loss in that case. What you've got at risk is $5,000 out of pocket. If you go the whole year with nothing bad happening to you and no doctor's treatment or anything like that, you're going to have your $3,000 sitting in your account, and it will be added to the following year with another $3,000. So frankly, if you like to roll the dice, if you're successful and have saved enough money that an accidental expenditure, not an accidental, but an unforeseen expenditure of several thousand dollars is not going to really crimp your lifestyle, then you might want to give some thought to this Medicare Advantage plan that I don't hate, and that is the MSA, the Medicare Medical Savings Account. They will give you money, and if you don't have anything bad happen to you, you get to keep that money. And then next year, you get more money. Now, it's a Medicare Advantage plan, but it doesn't have a doctor and hospital network, which is my big complaint with Medicare Advantage plans, lack of freedom of choice. With this plan, you have complete freedom of choice like you would with a Medicare supplement. There is no network. There is no requirement for a personal physician, PCP. There is no requirement to ask permission before a specialist is seen or before tests have to be run or before an unusual procedure is done. So those things are good. In those ways, this Medicare Medical Savings Account is very much like the plans that I love so much, which are the Medicare supplement plans. But the one thing to watch out for, as Randy and I discovered a few months ago, and we did an episode about this, some Medicare Advantage plans get picky and play games with some procedures that might be a little pricey, and they try to keep a lid on costs by denying coverage for certain things until the insured person requests a review and perhaps goes into a full-blown, you know, a court appeal for this. So, and there are five steps to that appeal process. You got to be pretty upset if you're going to set off on that path. But those companies have tended to cave in if there's ever a dispute about what's going to be covered. So I just caution people to watch out, because that is one danger that I haven't seen solved with this lasso plan. But on the other hand, I have no indication that it's going to be a problem either. I have no reason to think that the lasso people aren't delivering coverage with as much freedom of choice as the Medicare supplements provide to us. And then just for laughs, they gave me a bunch of radio scripts, as if I'm going to be on the radio. And the federal government has a say in what you say on the radio about this plan. So I don't think Lasso would like me goofing around too much. But to read just a portion of these, it explains it as well as I could. This is one of those scripts. It says, thinking about Medicare coverage? You know, right away they're asking me to emote. So are you thinking about Medicare coverage? Consider the Lasso Healthcare MSA. That stands for Medical Savings Account. The MSA, or Medical Savings Account, I just told you that, is the only Medicare Advantage plan type that gives you money. That's right, the plan gives you money. For 2021, you choose between either a $2,000 or a $3,000 deposit. Lasso Healthcare deposits that money into your own special medical savings account, and then you decide how to spend, save, or invest the funds. There's no monthly premium and no network. See, that's the thing that makes me not hate this plan. There is no network of providers that you've got to deal with. You can go to any doctor, any hospital in the United States, and have your treatment. They will send the bill to Lasso, and Lasso will pay its share. Actually, the insurance company that Lasso hires for you will pay its share. And then you'll get a bill for any balance that wasn't covered, and you have your choice of leaving your money in that account or drawing it out to pay the bill. Or you can draw part of it out and pay part of the bill if you want, and then take the money from other sources. So here's another radio script. Go hassle-free with the Lasso Healthcare MSA, a Medicare Advantage plan with no network, no monthly premiums, no copays, no referrals, no prior authorizations. It combines a high deductible health plan with a funded medical savings account. Lasso Healthcare makes an annual deposit of money into the account. You decide how to spend, save, or invest the funds. For 2021, you can choose either a $2,000 or a $3,000 deposit. And here's another script. No, never sounded so good. Now, they're really asking a lot when they ask me to dive right in with the acting, the voiceover acting. With no network, no monthly premiums, no copays, and no referrals or prior authorizations, you can feel good about saying yes to the Lasso Healthcare MSA Medicare Advantage Plan. It combines a high deductible health plan with a funded medical savings account. Lasso Healthcare makes an annual deposit of money into your account. You decide how to spend, save, or invest the funds. For 2021 plans, you can choose either $2,000 or $3,000 deposit. And finally, the other script that I like out of the seven they sent me, have you enjoyed your HSA plan? Meaning, while you were working for your employer, if you were given an HSA plan, the question is, have you enjoyed having one? Are you looking for something similar in Medicare Advantage? Try the MSA, the Medicare Medical Savings Account. The Lasso Healthcare MSA gives you an annual deposit of money towards your healthcare. You decide how to spend, save, or invest the funds. For 2021 plans, you can choose either $2,000 or $3,000 deposit. No network, no monthly premium. And I think those are important points. I enjoyed reading these scripts because it stresses the fact that there are none of the bad things, most of the bad things, that Randy and I have been complaining about with Medicare Advantage plans. Lo, these many, has it been months or years that we've been doing this?
When you talk about Medicare Advantage plans, seems like it's been years, but it's actually only been months.
Yeah, time slows down when you start talking about something that's evil, evil, inflicted upon the human race.
I do have something, it's just a funny comical observation
all
about
right.
Lasso, Medicare, whatever their company is.
MSA.
You know how you get a name, there's, everything is a name, you know, like we have, you know, at least between us, we've renamed high deductible Medicare supplement plans as high value Medicare supplement plans.
Absolutely. And that's a stroke of genius on your part, by the way.
Well, thank you. These folks didn't do very good research. Lasso.
What would you do?
Because in the Midwest, in the agricultural states, Lasso is weed killer.
Oh, that's true.
There's a brand.
That's true.
There's a brand of weed killer.
Well, here's.
And when you brought up Lasso, and I'm going, why the weed killer company now selling insurance?
You know something? I never even thought about that. And I've known about these guys for several months now. It didn't even occur to me to equate the Lasso Healthcare Company with Lasso Weed Killer. Oh, wait a minute. Uh-oh. Ding, 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 ding. Danger, danger. Not Lasso. It's Roundup. Randy, the weed killer is...
Oh, there's Lasso. There's Lasso. Oh. There's something... There's a Lasso back there, too. I'll have to look it up.
Please do. I'd like to know what that is because I use Roundup. I almost drink that stuff. I love Roundup so much. And then what's happened in the last year or so, lawyers have sunk their teeth into Roundup, and they're trying to put them out of business.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, let's leave that as a hanging chair. Alrighty. Because I know there's a Lasso. It might be a more commercial version of it for farmers, but there is a Lasso weed killer.
I was going to say, I know that there are Roundup-ready crops that farmers and so forth can use Roundup on, and they'll kill all the weeds and the grasses, mm-hmm. but not the crops. So I was in a classroom being lectured about cotton, growing cotton. And this was on one of our old Corvette trips with the old people driving the old Corvettes. And so a plantation outside of Faraday, Louisiana, the owners of the plantation took us into their little museum and then answered questions, told us what it was like to grow cotton. And I said, is there Roundup ready cotton? And the owner of the plantation went from, boy, these people are a bunch of pains in the ass, to falling in love with me. Man, this guy knows what he's talking about. He's like, let's talk cotton. So anyway, that.
Oh, my God.
So I would have expected lasso ready cotton instead of Roundup ready cotton. So I'm going to be interested in hearing about lasso, the weed killer.
I will definitely find this out. And speaking of cotton, all right, you're talking to a kid that was born in the Midwest. We had never seen a cotton field. Okay, mm-hmm. That just didn't happen up where we were from. So it was either corn or beans, sure. or something like that.
Or livestock.
It was wheat.
Yep.
Oats. No freaking cotton anywhere. I forced my poor father one time when he was driving down through Oklahoma to bring me back an entire cotton plant.
Oh boy.
I don't know where he got this thing, but the thing that surprised me about a cotton plant, and I know you're just gonna yuck it up because didn't know anything about it. To get the cotton out of the cotton plant,
yep,
it's like there's stickers and they just cut your fingers to pieces. What the hell?
Why do you think Eli Whitney was such a popular guy in the South? He invented the cotton gin, which did all that work without you having to cut up your hands doing it. Now, as the old people driving the old Corvette. And I'm never going to stop saying that because you're going to say, well, which is it, old people or old Corvettes? And I'm going to say, yes. But so after we got the lecture about growing cotton from the people that owned the cotton plantation near Faraday, Louisiana, yeah. which was the boyhood home of Jerry Lee Lewis, we then went out in their cotton field. And they gave us each one of these bags that goes over your shoulder and then drags on the ground.
Yeah.
And we had to pick cotton. Now, we had to pick Massa's cotton and pay Massa for the privilege of picking his cotton. So do you think we got to take our bags of cotton? No, they confiscated our cotton after we paid them for the privilege of picking the cotton.
Now let me walk through this with you here, Doug. You paid to get into this place.
Are you going to point out the error of my ways here? Because I've been there and done that.
You paid to be out in the hot sun.
Yeah.
You paid to drag a cotton bag behind you. And you paid to cut your hands up. And you didn't get to keep the cotton?
Nope. Had to turn it in at the end of the tour.
Oh, my God.
Well, our next
is different. I was going to say, running the cotton fields must have changed over the years.
Well, those people stood and waved in the air, you know, waved as we drove away. Come on back now, you hear? You know, pick some more of our cotton. But our next stop was about 12 miles east of there in Faraday, Louisiana, at the boyhood home of Jerry Lee Lewis. And I got to tell you, Jerry Lee Lewis, a fantastic musician, very great entertainer, a little on the wacky side. Nothing about Jerry Lee Lewis holds a candle to his current day relatives. I swear, I've got like 5 stories about going to visit the Jerry Lee Lewis home, and it was an experience of a lifetime. I'll tell you, some of the stories have to do with his relatives. I'd probably be sued if I told them again, and other stories have to do with the nature of the tour guide, which was also a shirt-tail relative of Jerry Lee Lewis. I'll just tell you, this guy had a twitch. He was like nervous. And he would ask, I would ask a question, or one of the people in the group would ask a question, and then he would listen intently to the question, and then just take off with an answer like if he said, well, now, what age was Jerry Lee Lewis when he lived in this house? He would listen intently, and then he would say, did you know that the temperature tomorrow is going to be 85 degrees? And he would not answer anything. He would just, on his own planet.
Oh, my God. He was sticking to the script.
Oh, it was a script that nobody had any clue about. But anyway, I got a sore throat. I'm guessing that I've been talking over 24 hours nonstop. Is that true or not?
We were talking about a mailbag marathon. This is a Medicare, I don't hate this advantage plan marathon. We need to land the plane here, Doug.
Let's put that sucker right down on the ground and get out of it and go have a drink.
All righty. Well, thank you all for joining us. We certainly appreciate it.
Go buy Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020 before it's all gone.
Doug's a thinking about the next one, so get after it. And get several going on into the holidays. But thanks for joining us. You have spent just about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, sole proprietor of MedicareForTheLazyMan.com.
Bye-bye.